This morning, what I have from the Lord to share, I don't really call it a message. I'm going to preach a message, but it's really just a prayer. It's a prayer from the Lord's heart, and it's a prayer that the Lord has really been stirring in my heart for us as His people and as His church and just as His servants of the Lord in this generation of time. And this morning, I really feel from the Lord just to speak to us about stir us, O God. Stir us, O God. Stir your people, Lord. I want you to go with me to the book of Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. We're going to begin with verse 19. And read through verse 21. And verse 21 is the verse that I really want to emphasize. Paul, writing to the church of Philippi, writes, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I may also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." Let me just begin to say that we are living in a dark hour where the Lord is writing the word Ichabod over many of His corporate churches. We're living in an hour where the Lord is writing over many houses of worship. The glory of the Lord has departed. And what can be so frightening is that many of these houses of worship once possessed the glory of the Lord. In their services when they would come together as one, there was such a presence of the Lord and such an anointing of the Lord, such a richness of the presence of God. In their times of worship, the Spirit of God would come and the Spirit of God would just fill people's hearts. There was a glorious revealing of the heart of God through the Word of God, that they once possessed the glory of the Lord in their house. But somehow another spirit has come in. Another spirit has come in. And the glory of the Lord has departed. And what can be so deceiving in many of these houses of worship is that there's still a fervency. There's still an energy for the work of the Lord and for the worship of the Lord. I'm reminded of the church of Sardis, where the Lord speaks to the church of Sardis in the book of Revelation. He said, "You have a reputation of life, but you're dead." In other words, people can come in and they see the fervency of your worship and they see the exuberance coming out of your worship. They see the ambition in your work as if you're really desiring to build the kingdom of God. But don't fool yourself. You really possess no spiritual life whatsoever. In your worship, in your work, there is absolutely no spiritual life whatsoever, because another spirit other than Christ has come into that church. And brothers and sisters, this is what the Lord has really been speaking to my heart, that a church that really knows the abundant life of Jesus Christ, that's really walking in that life, that really knows the glory of God, the presence of God, the unction of God, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, if we're not careful, if that church is not careful, they can fall into this same place. They can fall into this same pit, so to speak. And so we have to be very careful with our walk with the Lord and really guarding our hearts. Now, the Lord has really been speaking to me out of the life of David. There's something the Lord's opened up to my heart. And I want us to see this morning, because the Lord's going to challenge us in some areas that I feel like our church and our hearts, people that are sitting here, really need to be stirred. They really need to be challenged in. I want you to go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17, of course, we know that it's the wonderful story of David rising up in faith and going to the battlefield with Goliath. I just want you to look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to look at verse 23, and then we're going to go to verse 26. And as David talked with his brothers, behold, there came up a champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. This Philistine is blaspheming the name of the Lord and defying the armies of Israel. And David hears them. Now go with me to verse 26. Verse 26 says, And David spoke to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him in this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, Why comest thou thither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou might see the battle. And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? So in these verses of scripture, what I really want us to recognize is that there is a holy zealousness in David's heart. There's a holy jealousy in David's heart for the name of the Lord. This Philistine is blaspheming the name of the Lord and he's cursing the armies of God. And there is just a jealousy that rises up into David's heart and a desire to go to the battlefield and remove the reproach that is on the Lord's people. I want us to recognize that there is a holy fervency given to the Lord, a jealousy for the honor of God, for the name of God. And it rises up into his heart, and there's a desire in his heart to go to that place of battle in faith and to remove the reproach that's upon the Lord's people. And here's the question that I want us to ask. He has this holy zeal, this holy jealousy. And exactly what is this holy zeal? What is this jealousy that's in his heart? If you'll look with me at verse 45 and 46, we see plainly what it is. Verse 45 says, And David said to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied this day. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Now read that last part again, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. So what is this holy zeal? The zeal that is in his heart is a zeal to see God glorified in the earth. The zeal that is in his heart is a holy zeal given from the Lord to see the Lord brought to reputation, his name brought to reputation in the earth, honored in the earth. See, brothers and sisters, David has a warrior's heart. That's what we need to understand about David. David has a warrior's heart, that there's a desire in David to go to the place of battlefield and to win victories and to see through these victories, to see God honored through his people. He has a warrior's heart. He desires to go into the place of battle and to win battles for the glory of the Lord. That is his heart. Brothers and sisters, the thing, the mantle upon his life that causes him to be a warrior for the Lord. What causes him to be a warrior for the Lord is that there is a desire in his heart to see God's name honored in the earth, to win battles for the honor and the glory of the Lord. Every battle that David went into, he went into that battle with this in his heart. God, this day in this battle, let the people of the earth see that there is a mighty God in Israel. Every battle he fought, this cry came out of his heart. God, this day glorify your name as we sung this morning. Glorify your name, Lord. Let your life shine. Let your power shine. Let your presence shine upon your people. Let them see through the lives of your people as we go to battle things that only God can do. That was what caused him to be the warrior that he was. A desire to see the name of the Lord honored. And I believe with all my heart in the New Testament time, in this New Testament time, God's church is called to be a warring church. I believe that with all my heart that there should be a Holy Ghost fire in us that says, God, this day be glorified. That, brothers and sisters, as we come into times of prayer together, prayer meetings and corporate prayer, there should be a fire in our heart that says, God, through our prayers, hear the prayers of your people. The effectual, fervent prayers of your people avail much. God, move in our prayers. There should be an unction in our prayer meetings, a faith in our heart that as we pray, God is going to do great things in the earth. understand, David had a jealousy in his heart to see the Lord brought to reputation in the earth. To see the Lord glorified in the earth. That lived in his heart every time he went to the place of battle. But tragically, something happened in this warrior's heart. What happened? I want you to go with me to 2 Samuel chapter 11. Look with me at verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all of Israel. And they destroyed the children of Amnon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem." So we see in chapter 11 that in the day when kings are supposed to go forth to battle, instead of going to battle, David sends his general Joab to go in his place to lead the armies. And he sends the armies to go. And David doesn't go with them. He tarries behind in Jerusalem. And here's my point. In a day when his heart is supposed to be stirred for the battle, in a day, in a time, in a season in his life when his heart is really supposed to be stirred to go to that place of battle and to advance God's kingdom in the earth at this time, there's no stirring in his heart anymore. There's nothing in his heart stirring anymore. Brothers and sisters, this was his time to be stirred by the Lord. I remember Pastor William Carroll, Times Square Church, saying something about Pastor David Wilkerson that really stuck to my heart. And what he simply said was this. He says, "New York needs Pastor Dave, but Pastor Dave needs New York. Because God designed him to be a warrior. He's a warrior, and so he needs war. Pastor Dave needs the warfare of the city because God designed him to be a warrior. That's the way the Lord designed him." And brothers and sisters, this is David. In our story, this is David. This was God's design for David. At this time, there's supposed to be a fire in his heart. This is the time that, this is the way God designed David to be. There's supposed to be a fire in his heart. There's supposed to be an unction in his life to rise up in time of battle and go to that place of battle. But brothers and sisters, as we've seen in the story, that fire wasn't there anymore. That stirring to go to the place of battle wasn't there anymore. Because of complacency got into his heart. And this is the real problem when you look at this. This is the real problem. That desire to see God honored in the earth. That desire to see God glorified in the earth. It died. It wasn't there. And because of it, he fell into a place of complacency with the Lord. See, this is what I want to understand. We're talking about the stirring of the Lord's here. The Lord's stirring. We have to see this. We have to understand it. When it says in a time when kings go to battle, it's talking about this is the time that David's heart is supposed to be stirred. This is the time when David's heart is supposed, something's supposed to be rising up in his heart to do what God designed him to do. And that is to go to the place of battle and war for the Lord. Brothers and sisters, let me just put it this way. If you're here today and God has called you to be a worship leader, we all know that those times, worship leaders, you know the times when you're just weary in mind, you're weary in body, when you're battle fatigued, we know those times. But we also know those times when you as worship leaders wait upon the Lord in humble obedience. You know those times when the Spirit of God just suddenly comes upon you and begins to re-strengthen you and begins to refresh you, and there comes a renewed fire in your heart. A fire to lead God's people in a time of corporate worship, anointed worship. A time to usher them into the presence of the Lord. There's a renewed fire that comes into your heart where you just want to stand before the Lord's people and one more time go up into the high places and tear the enemy's kingdom down through worship. You know those times. You know those stirrings. You know that fresh fire that comes. I know as a pastor, as a preacher of the Word of God, I know what battle fatigue is. I know what weariness is because the enemy hates the Word of God. It's the Word of God. It's truth that sets you free. And he comes to war against the Word of God. And I know those times of battle fatigue. I know those times of weariness because the enemy really comes. Every preacher of the Word knows that. But brothers and sisters, I also know those times when the Holy Ghost just comes upon me. I know those times when the Holy Spirit begins to stir in my heart and there is a fresh strength. That He touches me in mind, He touches me in body, He touches me in my soul, and then He puts something in my heart. And then there's just a fire that comes into my heart to one more time bring what God wants to say out of His Word. I know those times. There are intercessors. People that God has really called to be prayer warriors, to lay their life down in prayer. And they know these times of battle fatigue. They know these times of weariness. They know about the battles and these things. But they also know about the times when the Lord just comes and He breathes such life into you. And there's a renewed strength and there's a renewed fire that comes into the heart to just want to one more time pour out your heart and pray the things that are upon God's heart. That's what I'm talking about. Now, brothers and sisters, 2 Samuel chapter 11, this is David's time. This is his time that he needs to be stirred. This is his time for him to be stirred by the Lord to do what he was designed to do. To go to that place of battle and to win battles for the honor and the glory of the Lord. But brothers and sisters, as we have seen, that desire is not there. The desire is not there. There's a complacency that's gotten to his heart. And he's sending other people to fight his battles for him. Things that he was designed to do by the Lord. So we have to ask the question, well, what happened? In David's heart is a deep-seated complacency. He's just in a place of complacency with the Lord. What happened? Listen, I believe there are a few answers that we can give and all the answers would be right. But this is just what the Lord put on my heart for this morning. David fought and he won many battles. And is it possible that fighting and winning battles became somewhat of a routine for him? Is it possible that going out and fighting battle after battle, somewhere he lost that sense that this is for the glory of the Lord? Somewhere he lost that sense in his heart, this is for the honor of the Lord. Is it possible? He just became so familiar with going out to the battlefield and it just became a routine for him to go out to the battlefield, win battles. And somewhere in that routine of life, he lost the sense that this is really for the glory of the Lord. It's for the honor of God. And brothers and sisters, looking around our congregation today, I think all of us can know a measure of routine in our lives. I think we can. You know, I see students who daily get up at 5:30 and we pray for that hour. 8:30 to 10:30 are classes. 11 o'clock is a chapel. And after chapel, we have lunch. And after lunch, we go right back to the classrooms at 1:30. I see office workers here. We know what it is to daily answer phone calls. We know what it is to daily file papers. We know what it is to daily continuously answer question after question. I see kitchen workers here today. We know what it is to daily go into the kitchen and prepare 3 meals a day and make sure brunch is prepared on Friday. I see people here that have regular jobs, and I'm sure in our place of having a regular job, we do the same thing over and over and over again. We can all know a sense of routine, routine. But here's the thing, if we're not careful in that routine of life, we might can lose that sense that this is really for the glory of the Lord. This is really for the honor of the Lord. That this is what God has called me to do, and ultimately it's about me doing my part to bring Him honor and glory in the earth. We can lose that sense. And when we lose that sense that what I'm doing daily is for the honor and the glory of God, God is being brought to reputation in the earth. If we lose that sense, we can fall into a place of complacency. We can fall into a place of complacency where ministry just becomes our job. We've lost that sense that I'm doing this for the glory of the Lord, and now it has just become a job to us. And brothers and sisters, here's the frightening thing. We can fall into a place of complacency where it's just a job in our life, It's no longer about the glory and the honor of the Lord, and we can still think our hearts are right because we're doing the right thing. I still get up in the morning. I still pray. I still read my Bible. I still come to church. It's because we've been taught those things to do, but in all reality, there's a complacency that has gotten into our heart. No longer is it about answering phones for the glory of the Lord. No longer is it about sitting in my seat in class for the glory and the honor of the Lord. No longer is it about standing behind that stand to teach the class for the glory of the Lord. No longer is it about being in that workplace as a light on the job, what God can do in a life. No longer is it about being in that workplace for the glory of the Lord. It's just become a job. And we've lost that sense. This is for God's glory. And a complacency gets in the heart. And brothers and sisters, here's the thing. We may not fall into gross sin like David, but I have seen people spiritually die because of the complacency in their heart. I have seen people become carnal and worldly, and that very life of God sucked out of their life. And what's so deceiving is, well, I'm doing the right things. I'm still praying. I'm still reading my Bible. I'm still going to church. But it's because we were taught to do that. And we've really lost that sense in our heart, I want to honor God. And it's just become a job. If we let complacency sit in our heart, it will take us down a path that's further and further from the Lord's heart. We may not fall into adultery and murder people's husbands, but we will spiritually die. Now I want you to go with me to the book of Haggai. Chapter 1. Let me just help you get there. You can go all the way to the last book in the Old Testament, Malachi, and then start flipping backwards. It's Malachi, Zechariah, and then Haggai. Now let Haggai, just chapter 1, just sit on your lap. And without going into many details, let me just give you a brief background of what's going on. God has delivered his people from 70 years of captivity and exile. 70 years prior to this, they went into Babylonian exile. The Babylonians stormed into Jerusalem 3 different times, burned down the city, reduced the temple to rubble, and exiled many, many of the people back to Babylon. And so they're there for 70 years, but after 70 years, the Lord stirs the heart of a king by the name of Cyrus, and Cyrus lets the people go in order to go back to Jerusalem, their homeland, to begin to rebuild their city and to begin to rebuild their temple. And we have to understand this comes from the heart of the Lord. The Lord wants this temple built because this is going to be the testimony in his time and in this day of his glory in the earth. This is about the Lord's glory and his testimony being exalted in the earth. This is what this temple is. So the Lord desires that this temple be built from the ruins and be exalted. And his glory, the glory of the Lord is going to be there. The Lord makes a promise. The glory of the latter house is going to be greater than the former house. My glory is going to be there. He says right here in chapter 1, he says this temple is for my pleasure and for my glory. It's about the glory of the Lord being exalted in the earth. So the people return and they begin to build the temple. But as they're building the temple, the enemies of Israel come to a new king because Cyrus has died and a new king of Babylon has been raised up. And the enemies of Israel come to this king and they say, King, these people are really committing treason. It's really all about rebellion to you. So you need to stop this work. And so this king forces the children of Israel to stop working on the temple. And when you read the story, you find out that for 18 years, the temple is just lying there in the ruins. They're not building the temple. And the Bible tells us that somewhere in these 18 years, what happened? A selfishness began to grip the hearts of the people. That the people forgot about the temple. They forgot about it laying in the ruins. They forgot about God's testimony being built in the earth and God's name being brought to reputation in the earth. They forgot about that. There was a selfishness that got into their heart. And you can see this, the Lord anoints a man by the name of Haggai to come and confront what is in their hearts. Look with me at Haggai chapter 1. Look with me at verse 3 and 4. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, "Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house, his temple, lie waste?" So Haggai comes out with just an anointing upon his life and a word from God. And the Lord says to the people, is it time for you to be so concerned about your own lives? Is it time for you to be so concerned about your happiness, your ambitions, your contentment, your convenience, just the convenience of, is it time for that when my testimony is laying in the ruins? Is it time for you to think about yourself and about building your houses and how to make yourself happy and how to better be content with your life? These kind of things. And my testimony is lying in the ruins. And brothers and sisters, if we could hear the heart of the Lord today, that is still His grief and that is still His word. I think Paul says it best. He says, "For all seek their own and not the things which are of Jesus Christ." That what he's saying is so many in the church is so focused on their self. They're focused on their comfort. They're focused on their convenience. They're focused on their happiness. They're focused on their selfish ambitions. And there is such a very small remnant that has a heart for the testimony of the Lord in the earth. That's the Lord's grief today. Brothers and sisters, I know there's a remnant that are really laying their life on that altar and letting their lives be poured out for the Lord. I know there's a remnant in the church, but it is a very, very, very small remnant. And that's the Lord's grief. I have a gospel that needs to be declared. I have a message that can save the hardest of sinners and the most hopeless. I have a salvation plan through my son Jesus on the cross. I have a holy temple made up not of stones, but of the souls of men that I'm desiring to build. And yet so many seek their own and not the things of Jesus. So many seek the things that are on their heart. And they're not burdened with the things that are on my heart. They come to church with no burden whatsoever with the things that are on my heart. And that is the grief of the Lord's heart. Now here's the prayer that's really been alive in my heart, and it's alive in my heart today. Look with me at verse 13 and 14. Then spoke Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, "I am with you, says the Lord." And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. So here's what happened. Haggai comes with an anointed word. And he brings the grief of God's heart to them. He talks to them about their selfishness. He talks about that desire just to please self and the Lord's house laying waste. He talks about it with such an anointing. And when he brings the word of the Lord to the people, this is what happened. They heard the word of the Lord and they were suddenly found themselves broken in the presence of the Lord again. They found themselves one more time. They found the graciousness of the Lord's presence one more time, filling their heart and stirring their heart. And they've been broken again by the presence of the Lord. And with that brokenness, there come a stirring in their heart to one more time. Yes, let's wholly give ourselves to the Lord and let's set our hands about His work so He can be glorified in the earth. And this has been my prayer. See, I really sense this. You can't have the stirring without the brokenness. They were broken one more time by the loving, gentle, gracious presence of the Lord. Broken and convicted, and then there came a stirring in the heart. And brothers and sisters, my prayer has simply been this. God, one more time, come to our hearts and break us again. When is the last time you have been broken by the presence of the Lord? When's the last time that I've come to the Lord's house and I've been broken by the presence of the Lord? And I've been stirred by the presence of the Lord? That has been my prayer. God, if there has been complacency that has come in and got into my heart. God, if there's a coldness that has gotten into my heart. Lord, if I can come into your house and have a boredom in my heart for church and have a callousness in my heart for the work of the Lord. God, one more time, let your presence come and convict me and break me. Let me find myself one more time broken by the presence of the Lord. And then God, as I'm broken by the presence of the Lord, stir my heart one more time. And let me rise out of that place with just a renewed desire and a new fire and a fresh zeal from the Lord to one more time lay my life on the altar and be poured out for God again. God's people need to be broken again. There are people in this house that need to be broken again. Because there is a coldness, there is a complacency. We've heard sermon after sermon after sermon about coldness and complacency, and we've agreed, but we've walked out unchanged. And my heart, I'm talking about me today, I'm putting myself in the number. God, if there's complacency and coldness in my heart, one more time I want your presence to come. Melt me, convict me, bring that place where I'm bowed down in your presence again. And then stir my heart. Stir me, God. You know, this has been my prayer. God, one more time, let me be broken by your presence. And stirred by your presence. And one more time, let me fall before your presence as an empty vessel, ready to be filled and poured out in the earth. God, I know what it is to be broken by your presence. I know what it is for your tender and gracious presence to suddenly come to my heart and fill my heart. And there is a brokenness that is just so sweet to the heart. The heart just melts at the presence of the Lord. I'm talking about a sweetness that comes with brokenness. When the presence of the Lord just comes, His tender presence, kind presence, just comes and begins to melt your heart. And we begin to realize the coldness and complacency is in our heart. And we're bowed before the Lord saying, oh God, stir my heart again. Stir my heart again. I don't want complacency to find a place in my heart. I don't want to live the rest of my life for self. The few years I have on this earth, let me love you with all of my heart and let me be poured out for you again. Lord, in my ministry, in the church and in the school, Lord, if I have just lost that sense that this is for the honor and the glory of God, melt my heart again. Because when I stand in this pulpit or in the classroom, I want one thing to be burning in my heart. This is for God's honor. It's for His name. It's for His testimony in the earth. And God, if there's any other motive in my heart, break my heart and stir me again. You know, I think about people that all of a sudden they just found themselves in the presence of the Lord. And the evidence that you, in the Bible, the evidence that you really have found yourself in the presence of the Lord, there's a brokenness that comes into your heart and you find yourself on your face before the Lord. There's just a brokenness that comes into the heart. And I've thought about men in the Bible that came to the Lord with a need. There was just a need in their heart and all of a sudden the presence of the Lord came. And they found themselves on their face before the Lord. But yet when they rose up from that place, they rose up with a new strength in their heart. A new fire in their heart. A new renewed zeal. A godly zeal in the heart to one more time be poured out for the Lord in the earth. You know, think about Moses. You know, Moses had experienced a horrible disappointment. And he came down the mountain. See, what happened was he came down the mountain with the promises of God so alive in his heart. And then he finds the people of God dancing around naked, a golden calf. And his heart is broken. I'm talking about a horrible disappointment in his life. Does anyone here know horrible disappointment? So he goes back onto the mountaintop with God. But all of a sudden he finds himself in a cleft of the rock and the glory of God passing by. And when the glory of God passed by, all he could do was fall on his face and worship. Because he found himself in the presence of the Lord. And my cry this morning has been this. Oh God, If there's someone here today that has been shattered by a major disappointment, one more time let your presence come to them in such a glorious way that they may fall on their face and worship in the light of your glory. And when they rise, let them rise up out of that place of worship with such a life-changing revelation of Christ that they never had before. And let there be such a strength and a stirring in their heart to continue to allow God to be glorified in their lives. That's my prayer for you this morning. I think about Isaiah. Isaiah was a man that chapters 1 through 5 of Isaiah, he preached holiness. He preached repentance. But in Isaiah chapter 6, he goes into the temple to have a private time with the Lord. And all of a sudden, God just shows up. The presence of the Lord shows up. And the holiness of God is unveiled to him. And in the light of who God is, his heart is smitten. And he says, woe is me, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. And one more time, the Lord takes the coals of grace and applies it to his life. And then Isaiah is able to really hear the grief of God's heart. Who will go for us in this earth? Who shall I send? And there comes a cry back from Isaiah's heart. He says, Lord, send me. And brothers and sisters, my prayer for us today in this house, if there's just anyone here this morning that has slipped into a place of self-righteousness, we've just become self-righteous in our own heart and we've become comfortable and we've become complacent because we're in a place of self-righteousness. One more time, God, let your presence just come into their life in such an awesome way where they really see who they are in the light of you. How undone we are if we didn't have Jesus Christ in our life. And Lord, let us one more time fall on our face in your presence, bowed in your presence. And one more time, let us sense in our heart the mercy of God and the graciousness of God as he comes to our heart again and forgives us in that time of repentance. And Lord, then let us rise up with something in our heart, hearing your grief and burden again. Who will go for us? Oh God, one more time, send me. I want my life to be poured out for you. I think about Daniel. Daniel was a soldier of the Lord in Babylon. I know he knew battle weariness. I know he knew battle fatigue. And in Daniel chapter 10, suddenly the Lord shows up. And when he finds himself in the presence of the Lord, all he can do is fall on his face as a dead man. But the word of the Lord comes to his heart and says, Daniel, you are so greatly loved of God. And brothers and sisters, that has been my prayer for this house this morning. That if there are just battle-weary soldiers in this house this morning, one more time your presence would come to them in such an awesome way that they would one more time feel that presence, feel that time of just being overwhelmed by the love of God and fall on their face again, broken in the presence of the Lord. But not just broken, but rising up with a renewed strength and a new renewed desire to get back into the battles again for the glory of the Lord. I couldn't help but think about John on the Isle of Patmos, a man that was sent to a lifeless island to do hard labor for the rest of his life. And he's an old man by then now. And I can't help but sometimes on Patmos, was this man discouraged? Did he ever get discouraged? Did he ever get downcast? He was there for his testimony for Christ. Did he ever get discouraged? But one day, the presence of the Lord shows up. And in such an awesome way, the presence of God comes to him. And the Bible says that all he could do was fall on his face as a dead man. And as he's on his face, the word of the Lord comes to him and says, John, I love you, fear not. And he rises out of that place with a refreshed, a renewed strength and a renewed vision from the Lord. And that's been my prayer this morning. Lord, if there are people here that are just discouraged, Lord, would you just visit them with your presence in just an awesome way? And one more time, just let them find themselves broken in your presence. But not just broken in your presence. But Lord, let a renewed vision of Christ burn in their heart. And a renewed desire to pour their life out in the work of the Lord. That has been my prayer this morning. God, if I've got complacency and coldness in my heart, I don't want to sit in a pew with complacency and coldness in my heart. One more time, would you visit me with your presence and break me. Break this shell inside of me by the graciousness of your presence. And one more time, stir my heart. Let me just end with this. Beloved, this has been my prayer for us today. God, there are people here that need to be stirred today. I need to be stirred today. Others need to be stirred today. God, stir us. If we are complacent, stir us. If we are discouraged, stir us. If we are weary, stir us. If we have become self-focused, stir us. If we have lost heart for the battles, stir us. Let your presence come in such a way that we as your people find ourselves broken by your presence again, bowed before your presence again, and changed by your presence again. There are people here this morning with needs, God, and we just need for your tender presence to come fill our hearts and break our hearts and stir our hearts. And when we rise up to bless you, let us rise with a renewed strength and a renewed fire to love God with all of our hearts. And one more time, walk out your call upon our lives being poured out in the earth. If we've just lost the sense that this is for God's honor and God's glory, Lord, melt me one more time and stir my heart to love you and be poured out. Stand with me this morning.